The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 22. In what way they, who stand in the above-mentioned third most perfect light, receive the earnest of eternal life in this life? Why did I say to you that they received the earnest of eternal life? I say that they receive the earnest money, but not the full payment, because they wait to receive it in me, the eternal life, where they have life without death, and satiety without disgust, and hunger without pain. For from that divine hunger, pain is far away, and though they have what they desire, disgust is far from satiety, for I am the flawless food of life. It is true that in this life they receive the earnest, and taste it in this way, namely, that the soul begins to hunger for the honor of the eternal God, and for the food of the salvation of other souls. And being hungry, she eats, that is to say, nourishes herself with love of her neighbor, which causes her hunger and desire. For the love of the neighbor is a food which never satiates him who feeds on it, the eater being insatiable and always remains hungry. So, this earnest money is a commencement of a guarantee which is given to man, in virtue of which he expects one day to receive his payment, not through the perfection of the earnest money in itself, but through faith, through the certitude which he has of reaching the completion of his being and receiving his payment. Wherefore this enamored soul, clothed in my truth, having already received in this life the earnest of my love and of her neighbor's, is not yet perfect, but expects perfection in immortal life. I say that this earnest is not perfect, because the soul who tastes it has not, as yet, the perfection which would prevent her feeling pain in herself or in others. In herself, through the offense done to me by the law of perversity which is bound in her members and struggles against the spirit, and in others by the offense of her neighbor. She has indeed, in a sense, a perfect grace, but not that perfection of my saints, who have arrived at me eternal life. For, as has been said, their desires are without suffering, and yours are not. These servants of mine, as I have said to you in another place, who nourish themselves at this table of holy desire, are blessed and full of grief, even as my only begotten Son was on the wood of the Holy Cross, because, while his flesh was in grief and torment, his soul was blessed through its union with the divine nature. In like manner, these are blessed by the union of their holy desire toward me, clothed, as has been said, in my sweet will. And they are full of grief through compassion for their neighbor, and because they afflict their own self-love, depriving it of sensual delights and consolations. How this soul, rendering thanks to God, humiliates herself. Then she prays for the whole world, and particularly for the mystical body of the Holy Church, and for her spiritual children, and for the two fathers of her soul. And after these things, she asks to hear something about the defects of the ministers of the Holy Church. Then that soul, as if in truth inebriated, seemed beside herself, as if the feelings of the body were alienated through the union of love which she had made with her Creator, and as if, in elevation of mind, she had gazed into the eternal truth with the eye of her intellect, and having recognized the truth, had become enamored of it, and said, "O supreme and eternal goodness of God, who am I, miserable one, that you, the supreme and eternal Father, have manifested to me your truth, and the hidden deceits of the devil, and the deceitfulness of personal feeling, so that I, and others in this life of pilgrimage, may know how to avoid being deceived by the devil or ourselves. What moved you to do it?" love, because you loved me, without my having loved you. O fire of love, thanks, thanks be to you, eternal Father. I am imperfect and full of darkness, and you, perfection and light, have shown to me perfection and the resplendent way of the doctrine of your only begotten Son. I was dead, and you have brought me to life. I was sick, and you have given me medicine, and not only the medicine of the blood which you gave for the diseased human race in the person of your Son, but also a medicine against a secret infirmity that I knew not of, in this precept that in no way can I judge any rational creature, and particularly your servants, upon whom oftentimes I, as one blind and sick with this infirmity, pass judgment under the pretext of your honor and the salvation of souls. Wherefore I thank you, supreme and eternal good, that in the manifesting of your truth and the deceitfulness of the devil and our own passions, you have made me know my infirmity. Wherefore I beseech you, through grace and mercy, that from today henceforward I may never again wander from the path of your doctrine, given by your goodness to me and to whoever wishes to follow it, because without you nothing is done. To you, then, eternal Father, do I have recourse and flee, and I do not beseech you for myself alone, Father, but for the whole world, and particularly for the mystical body of the Holy Church, that this truth given to me, miserable one, by you, eternal truth, may shine in your ministers. And also, I beseech you especially for all those whom you have given me, and whom you have made one thing with me, and whom I love with a particular love, because they will be my refreshment to the glory and praise of your name, when I see them running on this sweet and straight road, pure and dead to their own will and opinion, and without any passing of judgment on their neighbor, or causing him any scandal or murmuring. And I pray you, sweetest love, that not one of them may be taken from me by the hand of the infernal devil, so that at last they may arrive at you, their end, eternal Father. Also, I make another petition to you for my two fathers, the supports whom you have placed on the earth to guard and instruct me, miserable infirm one, from the beginning of my conversion until now, that you unite them, and of two bodies make one soul, and that they attend to nothing else than to complete in themselves, and in the mysteries that you have placed in their hands, the glory and praise of your name, and the salvation of souls, and that I, an unworthy and miserable slave, and no daughter, may behave to them with due reverence and holy fear, for love of you, in a way that will be to your honor, and their peace and quiet, and to the edification of their neighbor. I now know for certain, eternal truth, that you will not despise the desire of the petitions that I have made to you, because I know, from seeing what it has pleased you to manifest, and still more from proof, that you are the acceptor of holy desires. Your unworthy servant, will strive, according as you give me grace, to observe your commandments and your doctrine. Now, O eternal Father, I remember a word which you said to me in speaking of the ministers of the Holy Church, to the effect that you would speak to me more distinctly in some other place of the sins which they commit today. Wherefore, if it should please your goodness to tell me anything of this matter, I will gladly hear it, so as to have material for increasing my grief, compassion, and anxious desire for their salvation. For I remember that you said that, on account of the endurance and tears, the grief and sweat and prayers of your servants, you would reform the Holy Church, and comfort her with good and holy pastors. I ask you this, in order that these sentiments may increase in me. How God renders this soul attentive to prayer, replying to one of the above-mentioned petitions. Then the eternal God, turning the eye of his mercy upon this soul, not despising her desire, but granting her requests, proceeded to satisfy the last petition which she had made concerning his promise, saying, O best beloved and dearest daughter, I will fulfill your desire in this request, in order that, on your side, you may not sin through ignorance or negligence, for a fault of yours would be more serious and worthy of graver reproof now than before, because you have learnt more of my truth. Wherefore, apply yourself attentively to pray for all rational creatures, for the mystical body of the Holy Church, and for those friends whom I have given you, whom you love with particular love. And be careful not to be negligent in giving them the benefit of your prayers, and the example of your life, and the teaching of your words, reproving vice and encouraging virtue according to your power. Concerning the supports which I have given you, of whom you spoke to me, know that you are, in truth, a means by which they may each receive according to their needs and fitness. And as I, your Creator, grant you the opportunity, for without me you can do nothing, I will fulfill your desires. But do not you fail, or they either, in your hope in me. My providence will never fail you, and every man, if he be humble, shall receive that which he is fit to receive, and every minister that which I have given him to administer, each in his own way, according to what he has received and will receive from my goodness.